Donald Trump's urging other NATO allies, like Britain, to increase their troops and funding for the war in Afghanistan. The president says he's changed his mind, having previously called for the US to withdraw from the conflict. Well, let's get more with our US correspondent, Simon Marks, live from Washington. A very good afternoon to you, Simon.
And a good afternoon to you, Chris.
So, Trump's changed his mind. He's decided that he does want to send troops into Afghanistan, having previously said it was not something he was going to do.
He has changed his mind. And let's be clear, this is a 180-degree U-turn. Donald Trump, long before he was ever a candidate for the presidency of the United States, assailed Barack Obama regularly on Twitter over Afghanistan, saying that Barack Obama was deepening America's involvement in a far-off land about which he argued the American people cared little and knew very much. He suggested throughout the campaign that it was time for the United States to fold its tent and wrap up its now 16-year involvement in Afghanistan. But last night, making what was his first prime-time address to the nation, Donald Trump conceded he's done a flip-flop.
My original instinct was to pull out. And historically, I like following my instincts. But all my life, I've heard that decisions are much different when you sit behind the desk in the Oval Office. In other words, when you're president of the United States.
Donald Trump sounding there very different than the Donald Trump that you used to hear on the campaign trail. But as you heard him there suggest, he understands now that there's a difference between campaigning and governing. He insisted that this is not a deepening of America's involvement in the Afghan conflict. Rather, he portrayed this as setting the stage for the ultimate withdrawal from Afghanistan that he wants to see.
Afghans will secure and build their own nation and define their own future. We want them to succeed, but we will no longer use American military might to construct democracies in faraway lands or try to rebuild other countries in our own image. Those days are now over.
And Donald Trump insisted that he was going to be calling on the country's NATO allies, the UK included, for additional support as the US prepares to send additional troops into Afghanistan. He also suggested that he's going to put more pressure on Pakistan than it has previously faced from US governments, particularly over what he characterized as Pakistan's support for terrorism. And he hinted that if he didn't start hearing a more productive message from the Pakistani authorities, then he might try and leverage America's relationship with India in a bid to try and bring about regional support that would assist the United States. You will notice there that throughout the speech, President Trump never spoke in terms of numbers. He didn't disclose to the American public how many additional troops he's planning to send into Afghanistan. He left that to his Defense Secretary Jim Mattis, who put out a statement after the president had finished speaking, and it is roughly 4,000 additional troops that will be soon be heading into the Afghan theatre.
And Simon, let's talk more about what the reaction has been. First of all, let's talk about what the reaction has been in the US. How have people responded?
Well, you know, very interesting, because Donald Trump is taking a gamble here, Chris. Doing a 180-degree U-turn is deeply irritating to many of his core supporters, and they have been expressing grave frustration over the fact that they believe the president has essentially been captured by the generals who now surround him. General John Kelly, the chief of staff, General H.R. McMaster, his national security chief, and also General Mattis at the Defense Department. Principal among those critics is the conservative radio talk show host Laura Ingraham. She has been a prominent supporter of Donald Trump. Indeed, she has been rumoured on many occasions as a possible future press secretary at the White House or even communications director for Donald Trump. But as she told her radio listeners this morning, she thinks that on Afghanistan, he's taken the wrong turn.
The Laura Ingraham Show.
You know, I said, why 4,000? Like, how did they come up with 4,000? If they're going to go to in the thousands, they might as well go to five. You know, four I never get. 4,000. Like, why 4,000? Make America great again. Drain the swamp. Don't clear the desert.
So you can see here that that she's pretty unimpressed with what the president announced. Unimpressed too, Stephen Bannon, who until last Friday, of course, was one of Donald Trump's key advisors at the White House. He's now back at the helm of Breitbart News, the conservative news organization that he used to lead before he joined President Trump's election campaign. Breitbart News branded the speech as somber and said that Donald Trump was making a flip-flop, with which clearly the editorial board of Breitbart did not agree. There were, though, Republicans congratulating President Trump on his speech, and many of them are up on Capitol Hill, including men who have not hesitated to criticize the president in the past, men like Senator John McCain, who say that this is a step in the right direction. He also won plaudits from Paul Ryan, the Speaker of the House of Representatives, and Senator Mitch McConnell, the Republicans' leader in the Senate. But that only underscores the fear of those on the right, those who are core members of Donald Trump's political base, that he's essentially been captured suddenly by the military-industrial complex here, that he's turned against at least one of the core issues that he campaigned on during the election, not getting America involved in foreign entanglements. And at a time when Donald Trump's approval ratings generally are depressed and at record levels, record low levels across the country, there's no question that Donald Trump is rolling the dice here, and it's going to be very interesting to see how many of his core supporters listen to the message that people like Laura Ingraham and Stephen Bannon have been putting across, and how they choose to express their anger, if indeed they share it, with the decision that Donald Trump has made.
And what about the reaction from around the world, NATO countries in particular, how have they been reacting? I know that we think that Britain is not expected to deploy any extra forces.
Well, absolutely. I mean, look, every NATO leader watching this speech by Donald Trump knows that he's politically wounded. He's not the confident leader of the United States with a long tail of support behind him that he would like to be. And so any calculation that NATO leaders have to make about the extent to which they're going to back the president's initiative here is going to be tempered by an understanding that he is in very grave political straits here in the United States. The reaction further afield has been interesting. Pakistan absolutely furious over the speech. India, cock-a-hoop about it. They see a real opportunity here to drive a wedge between the United States and Pakistan, and they see a real opportunity to prove to President Trump, in the case of Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi, that he can indeed be a pivotal supporter for the United States in the region. So in that regard, the president has certainly opened up an interesting series of possibilities. There's one other area where Donald Trump says, look, I'm different from Barack Obama, and that is he's not setting any deadlines. Remember on the election campaign last year, and you and I talked about it at the time, President Trump was always critical of President Obama for basically telling the Taliban when U.S. forces would be leaving Afghanistan, for basically telling ISIS when U.S. forces might leave Iraq. He says he will set absolutely no timetable because he doesn't want to provide the enemy with any kind of indication as to what his planning may be. Again, that's a gamble because it's saying to American military families, I don't really know how long your loved ones are going to be serving in this particular theatre, or at least if I do know it, I'm not going to say it.
Mm. Have we seen... I don't remember Donald Trump doing a U-turn on anything else, has he?
U-turns by Donald Trump. Let's see. I'd have to think about that one. I'm sure I could come up with a couple of U-turns where he hasn't gone through with some of the things that he promised on the campaign trail. For example, closing America's borders to Muslims. I mean, remember, he was going to have a blanket ban on immigration into the United States by people of the Muslim faith. And instead, he settled for a very watered down travel ban that the courts have now temporarily at least set aside. So that's one example of a U-turn. Let me also tell you, Chris, that another interesting little facet that we learnt this morning about the president's decision-making process on Afghanistan and how he ended up making that U-turn on policy. The newspaper The Hill, which is the newspaper of Capitol Hill and obviously steeped in the legislative and political process here in Washington, D.C., is reporting that in order to try and change the president's mind on Afghanistan, General H.R. McMaster, his national security advisor, furnished Donald Trump with archival photographs showing Afghan women walking down the streets of Kabul in the 1970s wearing miniskirts. General McMaster, of course, was trying to say to President Trump, the Afghans aren't who you think they are. They used to look like this. And that, apparently, was quite a compelling presentation by General H.R. McMaster when Donald Trump glanced at those photographs.
And I know it hasn't really been on our news agenda over here in the UK, but are there any continuing stories to develop bubbling up from what happened in Charlottesville in Virginia over the last weekend?
Absolutely, big time. It's not going away here as an issue, and it's not going away here as a story. And indeed, in many ways, President Trump stepped all over his own message last night on Afghanistan, because so damaged has he been by what is an utterly self-inflicted wound over Charlottesville. I mean, let's be absolutely clear about this. It was the president's failure from the get-go to criticise the neo-Nazis and white supremacists who descended on Charlottesville that has caused him no end of political grief. So damaged has he been by that he actually had to begin the speech last night by addressing that particular issue and by reiterating once again his belief that American communities need to come together and overcome the language of hate and the symbols of division that were on display in Charlottesville. He's still, in other words, in damage control mode, and that caused difficulties for him last night because he had to spend the first few minutes of his speech addressing Charlottesville. But it's also causing him broader difficulties, of course, because even yesterday, the Speaker of the House of Representatives, Paul Ryan, was putting fresh press statements out underscoring the fact that he disagrees with the president over white supremacist groups and doesn't believe that there was, as the president has put it, violence on many sides during those Charlottesville demonstrations. And I think there is really the sense here that, you know, as far as this Trump presidency is concerned, there was before Charlottesville, BC, if you like, and now there's after Charlottesville. And it's really changed everything for the president.
And just finally, Simon, whilst I've got you, how was the eclipse yesterday?
It was absolutely terrific. I have to say, I was quite cynical when I came to work yesterday morning about whether I really wanted to spend an enormous amount of time covering the eclipse, but I thoroughly enjoyed it. We put our eclipse glasses on. We went downstairs outside our building. We're right next door to the National Geographic Society here in Washington, D.C. So, of course, the National Geographic people were all piling out of their office buildings wearing their glasses, as were all the office buildings here in town. I mean, there were thousands of people on the streets for that sort of hour and 15 or 20 minutes when you could see the eclipse coming in, then the peak period when the sun was 80% blacked out here in Washington, and then the period when the eclipse was coming to an end. And there was really quite a sort of carnival atmosphere on the streets, people sharing glasses. Some people showed up with homemade eclipse glasses. One of our fellow tenants in the office here, that they'd all made homemade eclipse glasses using cardboard boxes and various, I think, tinted film inside the cardboard boxes. So it was quite a scene.
And of course, there was some. Was it a Fox News anchor said that Donald Trump looking at the sun was possibly the greatest thing any president has ever done?
Yeah, I mean, I've watched it. I know it's on the LBC website. You can go and watch that extraordinary clip of Tucker Carlson, the Fox News primetime anchor, suggesting that this was a moment of greatness by President Trump. I think, and I sort of vaguely know Tucker Carlson myself, I think he had his tongue somewhat firmly in his cheek when he said it, but it was an utterly extraordinary extraordinary moment. We were live on the air last night with Clive Bull when that happened. And, you know, there was doubt as to whether the President of the United States was actually going to accept the advice that everybody had been given and put on his eclipse glasses, or whether Icarus-like he was going to take on the sun. And you've probably seen the pictures that show that for at least a bit of it, he was squinting up into the sky, eclipse glass free.
Thank you very much. Simon Marks, our US correspondent, live for us from Washington. You are listening to LBC London News. Headlines are live next.